Hello, everyone. Welcome back. Excited to share this daily episode with you today. We're going to be talking about homeschooling, and we're going to do this in the context of so many of us have become accidental homeschoolers. So for those of us that are getting a little bit depressed about the realities of that in some cases, or overwhelmed by the responsibility that increasingly feels like it's on our shoulders and is worried that we're going to screw this up or not do it right, we thought we could take just a little bit of a step back and go to someone in our community that did this intentionally, made this choice really as a lifestyle choice, and did it several years ago. And it's been an unbelievable blessing from their family, so much to extract. And the best part is they're actually a familiar face to the community. We interviewed Vincent Puglisi last year. Brad, I'm gonna take a stab at the episode here. I think it was episode 59. Tell me if I'm right.
Wow, Jonathan, you are amazing. Yeah, that was actually 2 full years ago. But yeah, episode 59, Freelance to Freedom with Vincent Puglisi.
So this is going to be a really fun episode, Brad. And I know it's one that you were really chomping at the bit to get on the book. So tell us a little bit more, Brad. I mean, before we have Vincent join us, what has been your experience? Your daughters are home. School is likely going to be canceled for the remainder of the school year. You've become accidental homeschoolers. And in fact, I very much remember you saying, I would never homeschool. that is a social experiment that I'm not willing to undertake. But here you are. So
and right, in great fairness, I have said that for years. That is not something that we ever truly aspired to do. But yeah, I mean, this has been it's been interesting so far, right? It's kind of balancing what do you want a day to look like with what are the requirements from the school, if any? And we're certainly going to talk about that with Vincent in great depth. But yeah, I mean, we've taken the tact of not stressing. We're trying to make sure our kids read at least an hour or maybe two a day, do some math every day, and then do some type of little fun project. And I think if we can do those three things in a given day, or maybe even two of them, frankly, that's a pretty successful day. So yeah, we are trying not to stress. So yeah, just to quickly talk about Vincent, this is cool for me because he has a new podcast or new-ish called the Total Life Freedom Podcast. And he gives little nuggets of wisdom every day in sub 10-minute episodes. And I actually listen. It's the very first podcast I listen to every morning. So yeah, it's good to have Vincent back. And Vincent, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, guys. It has been 2 years. It's pretty wild. So good to be back with you guys.
So why don't we go ahead and just take a little bit of a step back here and talk about the choice to homeschool, what that meant for your family, why homeschool when maybe you live in a school district where, you know, your taxes are already paying for this? What was the decision to go ahead and bring the kids home and do this, take on this responsibility personally?
Yeah, those are the same questions our parents asked us and friends asked us, like, why are you doing this? And our friends Ken Carfagno and Teresa Carfagno, they homeschooled their kids. We met, and I was like, Brad, I was like, we're never going to homeschool. Like, I pictured homeschoolers, you know, you make your own clothes, you wear funny hats, like just this that example that everybody thought homeschoolers were. So I'm like, I met Ken and Teresa, and he told me about their day. He said, oh, it's nothing what you think. You know, our son gets up, he's got his books next to the bed. He gets his work done within a couple of hours. They go out for a hike or a bike ride. And I'm like, that doesn't sound like what I thought it would be. And what we had learned was, you know, even from reading our book was we love the freedom of being with our kids when raising them. They went to school and then we noticed we don't get to spend time with them anymore. They're at school all day long. And they come home and there's homework and there's all these assignments and we would travel a lot. And then all of a sudden that stopped and a lot more stress actually came into our house because all of us are homeschoolers to begin with, right? When people say, oh, I could never homeschool my kids, especially a mom, I'm like, you had a baby and you raised the kid the first 5 years. That's difficult. Like schooling is not that difficult compared to that. So we've already done these things. They went to school and then we realized like in one fell swoop, this was not the life that we wanted. And we didn't like the way the school system was even bringing out everything that we were doing. The social interaction, which everybody talks about socialization, and we can get into that, which is my favorite topic to talk about in homeschooling. But, you know, the things that kids were seeing, kids with their phones on the bus, all these different examples, and we weren't a fan of it. And so we decided to do it. And it was just at first we weren't sure, like everybody going through it right now, you don't know, but the first 6 months were the hardest and then you get your groove. And then it really turned into something where that's where Total Life Freedom came from. Cause we could do whatever we want, whenever we want and teach that way.
So Vincent, yeah, obviously a lot of people, millions and millions of people have been thrust into this with little preparation or training. And I think a lot of people are overwhelmed at this point, right? They're wondering, do they have to recreate the school day? Do they have the expertise to, you know, I have a middle schooler, right? Like Laura and I did reasonably well in school back in the day, but like, I don't have the expertise to teach six different classes. Like what's realistic from the perspective of a homeschooler? Like, what do you look to get out of a day? Like, how do you, maybe even taking a step back, how do you think about it? How do you conceptualize? Is it, hey, we're looking to get this out of a day, a month, a week, a year? Or is it like, talk me through, what does that look like?
Yeah. Yeah. It's so different than what people are dealing with right now. We view it this way. Life is school. Everything is school. When our kid gets up and he goes out and we're staying in Hilton Head for a month. He goes out and he finds a turtle in the morning and he talks about it, he studies it, he looks at it. Everything we do is school. When we went to the beach the other day and we met a guy that owns a bunch of Airbnbs and we're talking about everything going on. And he's talking about the situation of, well, people canceled these cruise trips and now they're booking this place in Hilton Head. He's talking to my 14-year-old son about it, about the way business goes. That's school. And I think the school system has messed a lot of this up. Because we think in terms of subjects. We think in terms of math and science and all these things. Our oldest is very much, he loves studying about World War II. He just took an interest. We go to the library. Elizabeth takes out a bunch of books, puts them in the living room, and they read. And we don't tell them to read it. They read what they're interested in. That's a lot of what we do. What are you interested in? We want you to go and be a lover of learning. We want you to love learning, not just be good at taking tests. So the example, Andrew took this book, started reading about World War II, got a really big interest in World War II, would read 3 to 4 hours a day on World War II. And then turned into, he started learning about the tanks. So he started learning how to build these little tanks, start learning about civil rights because the Muskegee, the airmen, the first African-American air troop that came in, we start learning about them. He starts learning about civil rights, physics, engineering. Now he builds these tanks. He wants to sell them. He wants to make a business out of it and so he wants to write an ebook. So now we're talking business. We're talking finance. Every subject gets interweaved if you can do this around their interests. And I think the ones that are being thrust into it don't have that opportunity as much. And that's what we want to kind of show.
So this is interesting. So I guess full context here. I was homeschooled through ninth grade. I started high school as my first year of public school, and then I did high school and public school and beyond from there. So there's two things that I want to lay out. The one end was one thing my parents did a great job was the love of reading. I think so that's something the Phi community can embrace. I would just read. I would read for hours and hours on end. If I look back at my childhood, that's the one thing, although I can't exactly point to like these amazing skills that I learned or this great body of knowledge. I mean, I was a voracious reader throughout my entire childhood. So that's one huge thing that I want to acknowledge. So the thing that I feel like I missed and the reason that homeschooling for me was not this amazing experience that I'm just, you know, saying everybody needs to do this. Although I, to some degree, I still feel that. I think the missing piece was the interest-led learning. There was none of that. I mean, I didn't have that. I was kind of being forced into a curriculum and being told by my parents that I need to do. And Mom, I know you're listening to this. I'm not trying to throw you under the bus here. You did the best you could and you did great. And I think I had a great time, but the interest-led learning was not there. And so I'm curious, how do you move? And I think this is really a pain point that I would be worried about. And it's certainly would be a pain point for many parents. You feel this need to, your kids want to excel in school. They want to keep up with their peers. There is this sense of not wanting to, you know, fall behind and for better or worse, I'm sure that's there to some varying degree. When it's your parents telling you, you need to study this, you need to complete your homework, you need to do this. And you're not only enforcing what a teacher is giving, but you're actually assigning it as well. I never had the interest-led learning. That wasn't a piece of it. So how did you get to that point? And how does a parent that has no experience do this help get on the same page with their child?
Yeah, it's a great question. And we had to learn it through trial and error. We didn't know this at first. The first year, the first 6 months, we kind of did what we were supposed to do. We got the curriculums and you bought them online and all that stuff. And then we started realizing that our kids, like I started thinking about myself. You know, you guys know me. I was a sports photographer for many years. I was terrible in school. terrible in school. I remember my elementary school teacher said he doesn't want to read any of the books that we want to assign him, but all he wants to read about is sports, right? Now, I don't care anymore about sports, but back then it was is what I loved. If school kind of took this approach more, they might have said, well, I know you're probably not going to be, you know, you're a slow guy, you're 5'9", you're never going to play in the pros, but maybe you could be a photographer. Maybe you could be a journalist. Maybe you'd work on, you know, the crew, like on the stadium. Maybe you could be an architect building a stadium. What do you love doing? And because we keep coming back to, what do you love learning? Because we want you to have a love for learning. Just like you, Jonathan, you became a great reader. I'm sure you said there's no real asset that you came out of. Of course there is. Look at what you're able to do now. I'm sure you read a lot now. I'm sure you're very knowledgeable in terms of the different books you read, all this stuff. That came from the love of learning. They say most students, after they graduate college, don't read a book a year after that. And I think it's because it's pounded into their head, read these books, read what we want you to read, as opposed to read what they want to read and love to learn. So that's where we go with it.
So Vincent, I love the concept of following what you're interested in and find your passion. But I mean, clearly there are bedrock skills that need to be taught to children, right? Absolutely. So, I mean, we could talk about mathematics, we could talk about grammar and other aspects. I mean, I think we're all on the same page here. So this is not like any disagreement at all, but just like, what are the tools that you guys have used if you don't have a great background in math and in, you know, grammar and such? Like, your kids have to learn this, right? So like, are there specific tools that you can point people to? Are there things that you've found work better than others? Like, talk us through really when it gets down to it, how, because that's fundamental, right? Math and reading, that's fundamental. They have to learn these skills. How do they go about it?
Of course it's fundamental, but you know, I go back and forth in this because when you study this enough, and none of this was ever told to me in school, obviously, but it takes 50 hours of knowledge to learn basic math, about 50 hours of knowledge. It's not that much to be proficient decently in math. Now, I can tell you most people that aren't going into that in their career are not going to study it that much more. Like, there were so many classes that I would have been better off taking than advanced math classes when I was in school because I got the basics of math. I'm good at it. I need to study what I need to study. Reading as well. If you read, you're going to develop a skill for reading. I think we make it so much more complicated than it is. If just that example about Andrew, he's reading probably more than any, I don't want to say any kid his age, but he reads a lot. He reads a lot. We don't ever tell him to read. We just guide him in the direction of let's dive into the things that you love. My youngest loves electronics. And here's the thing. I was never a World War II person. I was never into tanks. My middle son loves ants. Our youngest one loves taking apart electronics. Literally, we go to the dumpster over here. They have like an electronics graveyard. It's the funniest. He's in a dreamland. He's taken apart pieces of electronics. He puts together his own generators and his own cars he makes. He does it by studying. It's just like this, guys. It's like whatever you love doing, you just dive into. And I think it's people make it so much more complicated. I know I'm not giving you a detailed answer on this on purpose because it's not. You got to dive into what you love learning. It's simple.
So let's say this is like ground zero. Someone was never going to homeschool. They were never going to homeschool. It didn't even cross their mind. They're not an intentional homeschooler, but now they are very much an accidental homeschooler. School is out for the remainder of the year. Their kids are at home and they are having a crisis of expectation management. They know their teachers were amazing. They were pouring everything they had into their kids for this period of time. And the kids had the syllabus. They had 8 hours of work that they were doing throughout the course of the day, covering all the subjects, you know, based on the standards that were set out. And now mom and or dad is stressed out and they're trying to figure out their own financial situation right now and figure out how they're going to be working from home or otherwise. And they're trying to figure out how much time they can even put into this, you know? They're looking at that 8 hours of education that their kid was getting. And they're saying, how could I possibly, you know, maintain that? Or should I even try? Like, what's the bar? How can I do right by my kids with the limited amount of time that I have available? What perspective can you add to that?
I got great news for them. Only 2 hours of work gets done every school day. It's not 8 hours. And I think that's what's going wrong right now. It's like you have to work from 7:30 to 3:30. When they've broken it down, when you talk about recess and in between periods and review and disruptions and everything that comes with it, 2 hours of work gets done in a school day. Does that relieve the pressure a little bit? It should, right? That's what gets done. So when you factor in 2 hours of work gets done in a school, now a school system might argue with that, but when it's been studied, it's there. So you don't need to replicate 8 hours of school a day, because they're not even doing 8 hours of school a day. And when you factor in, they're going to read books. You're going to do math. We have that. We have math books that they do. We have science books. We have the basic stuff that we do and beyond. And they're advanced in those. I'll give you the example. They do standardized testing here. So we still have to do standardized testing as a homeschooler. Nolan, who never even prepared or studied for it, just went and did, he got 99 out of 100. And I don't know how, but it's from living. And we look at ourselves, and this is the way we viewed it. I think hopefully this helps. Everybody's like, I'm not a teacher. How can I teach my kids? We don't view ourselves as the teacher. We view ourselves as the guide. We're the guide to lead them in certain directions. If I can't replicate being a science teacher, I don't have their background, but I could be the guide to allow them to learn towards it. And we don't give kids enough credit in terms of being able to figure some of this stuff out. I truly believe that.
This is coming from a place of deep interest. So yeah. I understand how when you're encouraging the kid or the child to learn what they want to learn, you can be the guide, right? That yep. makes sense to me. But when you're trying to get them to encourage them to be a guide towards something they don't want to learn, but is on standards of learning, like maybe, for instance, your kid's not a science kid. They could care less about earth science, like, whatever, you know, like, or pick a different subject. Insert their most loathed, hated subject here, but one that our society believes is important for kids to learn and is on some form of standardized test. How do you stay in the guide lane and not end up in the enforcer lane?
I think we have two different worlds to go through here, because I think the people we're talking to are, I would imagine a lot of them have requirements that need to keep up with their school system, correct? I mean, Brad, do you have that where they expect a certain amount of a certain subject to be done?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's unclear as of right now, and it depends on the different ages. So my second grader, I mean, they have just sent home a packet of kind of guidelines and, you know, basically just some projects that we could work on if we felt like it, but I'm not sure that that's being graded or some such. But whereas my sixth grader, she's getting weekly emails from her teachers with rough guidelines of things that need to be completed. I believe they actually even need to be handed in, though I'm not sure. I haven't jumped into the exact details of this, but that's a loose enough framework that it's directionally accurate.
Yeah, that's a different world than what we're dealing with, right? We don't have that as homeschoolers, and this might not be where you're looking to go to. As homeschoolers, we need to do standardized testing on those years, and we need to hand in a year-end packet, a year-end portfolio of what we've done that year, right? That's what we need to hand in. So when we travel for 3 months, all the experience along there, they go in there, we rock it when it comes to that. So we don't have, John, we've kind of sidestepped a lot of that. And if they have an interest in it, they go towards it. And if they don't, they don't. I don't study physics. You know, as an adult, I'm not interested in it. I'm not good at it. I don't need to take a class on it. I don't need to learn it anymore. I need to learn the things that I need to do. And I need to become a master at my craft. And I need to dive in there and get better at it and grow from there. I wish we did that with kids a little bit more, because that's why I think kids get so disenchanted with school, is because they're forced to learn things. Now, I get there's basics, but if they're not going to go in that world, why do we push them towards that world? I don't think this has ever been questioned until now, simply because we've always gone through the school system. And I think it's a great conversation just to start at least having. Why are we doing some of this stuff?
All right, Vincent. So let's kind of move out of, you know, the theory is obviously super, super interesting, but like, let's talk about specifics now, or just things that you guys have come across that jump out to you as items that are clearly learning led, but that people might not think of necessarily as school, right? To maybe alleviate that guilt that a lot of people out there feel. Like, you know, example. So just in my own life, and I'd love if, you know, maybe the three of us can brainstorm a couple of things, like board games.
Yeah.
We play board games nonstop here. And the level of subtlety and strategy that goes into this, the planning, the thinking about probability, and if this is going to happen, that's going to happen. Like, there's so much nuance in these games that we play that honestly, I would take an hour of a board game over, in some cases, a day of school for my kids. Like that's how much I think they're getting out of it. So, that's an example. I'm even thinking like most people think, oh, TV, right? Like that's just wasting time. But even just on like Disney Plus, which we just got, they have National Geographic. They have an entire series on national parks, which, mm-hmm. We're not traveling right now. We were hoping to go to some national parks actually, both in August and actually in next month when we're supposed to go on spring break. Now we can watch them on TV. We can watch, my younger daughter, Molly, is fascinated with outer space. So Neil deGrasse Tyson has that Cosmos series. So these are things that we're thinking of. And I'd love just to have a little brainstorm here because people are looking for specifics right now. They are struggling and maybe we can make them feel less guilty.
You just did it. You just did it. You just explained it right there. It's right in front of our face. Everything that we do is, if we can get rid of the word school or the brick and mortar idea of school, everything is school. And if you could just take that, the board game is school. Talking to your kids about your business is school. You know, my kids ask me, they ask about the business because we're around. What are you doing here? What are you doing there? What's a podcast, right? You guys know my kid researches podcasts. It's all part of it. And they're getting first world knowledge. They're getting firsthand knowledge of these things going on. You just explained that we can go deeper into it, but you just explained it right there. Everything you get from that board game is all part of it.
So let's talk about, the ideal day, for a homeschooler. So someone's at home, we just said, all right, you're not trying to recreate 8 hours of your traditional setting. And in fact, if you were to extract out from that, what the studies are showing, they're getting about 2 hours of education a day. That's kind of what I heard you say. Now, what does that look like in the Puglisi household? What is that what does a day structure look like for your kids? Do they need to get up at 8 and get started with a Wheaties breakfast, lunch, and dinner of champions, or something else?
Each kid's different. And I know we get pushback on it, but we have a 14-year-old and our 14-year-old often sleeps until 11 o'clock. Now we might sound like the laziest parents in the world. We're not. It's just that if you do the research on it, that teenagers need more sleep. It's just there. So what do? We send our teenagers to get on a bus at 6:30 in the morning because sports have to happen at 3:30 in the afternoon. That's why it happens. Our preschoolers go to school at 9 o'clock. Explain that to me. My preschool was up at 6 o'clock in the morning. Why wouldn't they be the one going to school right away? It makes no sense. So we allow life to happen. Our oldest gets up sometimes 11 o'clock, 11:30. He got up probably an hour and a half before we started talking today. Would sound crazy, but he gets up in a good mood. He's growing like a weed and he gets his work done as soon as it happens. It doesn't matter when it happens. And it's only done so we could be in the structure so we could all follow the rules. It makes no sense. And I can tell you, he went through a pretty big health deal last year. His adrenal was off. He had adrenal fatigue. It was awful. It was a lot of just a lot of stress in our house. The traditional thing would be give him some type of a drug, settle him down, get to school, follow orders. We didn't do that. Our only goal was for him to get healthy. That was his school goal, was to get healthy. Now he is smiling, he is happy, he is working, he does his own thing. I have such a hard time answering the structure question because I really believe we build it ourselves day to day. We don't have a set routine. This might sound like the lamest answers in the world, but there's not. There are certain things we have to get done. There's a lot of things. B doesn't happen until A is complete. You're not going to go out and ride your bike until this stuff is done. That stuff happens in our house. There are natural consequences, but there's a lot of natural consequences to your actions, not to us telling you what to do.
Yeah. And I think just to kind of echo that in our lives here, there's so much stress going on, obviously, just in the world right now, that the last thing you have to do is, or you should be doing, is stressing yourself out needlessly. So like, in theory, when the kids had to get up at 6:45 to make a bus, we needed them in bed. It was, absolutely essential. They were in bed by whatever time, 8:30 or 9. Now, we're not stressing about this. The kids are going to sleep about 10 o'clock each. And you can look at a situation multiple ways, right? Like we could be sitting there grumbling about, oh, this is all going to hell. And, they should be getting to sleep at 9 like normal. But honestly, who cares? Right? To your point, like they're happy, they're healthy, They're looking forward to each day. And why introduce needless stress? I feel like this is actually something that a lot of people miss. Is like they're like missing the forest for the trees, right? Like they're looking at these little individual things and just letting themselves get stressed out. And like, you know, if you need someone to tell you, like, just stop stressing, like, I'll be the person. Just take it easy, take a step back, and listen to what Vincent's saying here. You can't do everything. You don't have to do everything. This can be interest-led. It can be, schooling can take all sorts of different avenues. So just stop stressing. This is not a time to keep up with the Joneses just because your next door neighbor is posting on Facebook or Instagram with everything they're doing every 15 minutes from Monday to Friday, you know, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. You really don't have to do that. So just try to get through these days and make it enjoyable, right? Like for us, like our family, we're having a ball right now. We really genuinely are. So I think this stress management is a bigger aspect than a lot of people even realize, frankly.
I'm hearing that from so many people. It's just like, wow, it is just relaxing. We actually are enjoying being with you. We're playing more games than we ever have. We're going for walks. Why would we want to lose that? And where do we come from? You know, our whole goal is we want to raise great adults. I don't care about raising a great test taker. It doesn't matter to me. I want to raise a great adult. Now, when you take that perspective in terms of a curriculum, it completely changes. Earth science doesn't matter as much as communication, right? Financial independence matters a lot more than biology if I don't care about biology. Raising great adults, when that is the standard, that is where you want to go to, it changes your curriculum. And our curriculum, we don't go by it. It's curiosity, not curriculum. It's the way that we look at it.
So I love this. I think it's great. And I think whatever we can do to, I hope that parents hearing this kind of feel some of that pressure alleviate and are able to kind of take this traditional model, put that aside, say that's not what we're doing. Right now, we're looking at what are our kids interested in and helping them foster a love of learning over the next several months. How can we do that? I think the next thing that I'd be curious about is best practices actually for parents for managing, like you, as you pointed out, and in your words, it was, I think other people must think that we're lazy, and I don't think anybody thinks that, but I do wonder how parents that have, you know, a lot of stuff going on, a lot of busyness in their lives, maybe some economic stress, some financial stress, and then now this is being added to that. How can they manage the lack of routine, right? That is now presenting themselves, this added element to their lives. Are there any best practices as parents for being able to give your kids what they need and act as great guides without, you know, without that enveloping everything?
It's difficult. I mean, first of all, I have the greatest wife in the world. I'm sitting here talking to you guys, but she should be talking to you guys. This Elizabeth does so much of this stuff and figures this out. And she, you know, I'm kind of like the assistant principal or the substitute teacher, whichever one gets less respect. That's me. She's in charge. But so she would be the one to really talk about in terms of that. But I just think there's a lot of people that are just, we're fortunate to be in the situation that we're in, and we can do this, and I could do the business and she could be with the kids, and not everybody has that. We have a lot of people that have two income households that the kids, and this is completely throwing them for a loop. So I don't want to be even disrespectful at all and even pretend like I understand what's going on through. But the key to us, if I can give anything, is what you guys are saying, relieve the stress on school. If you do have an issue with the schools, try to reach out to your teachers and say, this is really difficult for our family. A lot of people I know that are reaching out to schools, they're getting feedback of like, the teachers don't want this either. The teachers aren't, they're trying to put this together last second and figure it out. What I don't want are relationships to be damaged. That's what I don't want. I don't care about the school as much as I don't want this to be something that 5 years from now, the parents and the kids don't like each other because it was so stressful on them. I think that's a big deal to think about. It's the relationship that matters first, and your kid's not going to fall behind. So best practices, I'm not sure, aside from like focus on the relationship with your kid, re-engage with their interests. And it doesn't have to be what you want it to be. It has to be what they love to do.
And I certainly appreciate your time and perspective, Vincent. And yeah, I mean, we are thoroughly enjoying the time with our kids, obviously under terrible circumstances. I cannot say that we're probably going to be homeschoolers going forward, as we really are huge proponents of public schools and you know, love what our teachers do. But yeah, it's just like anything. You make the best of the situation you have. And I think, you know, we are, like I said, thoroughly enjoying this time. And I think it really does come from that lack of stress. So, you know, thank you for the perspective. I really appreciate it.
You got it. And hopefully this can go forward. Maybe this can change things a little bit. Maybe we can relieve the stress even within the school day, and maybe things get learned from this. We would love to give your, you know, the Choose FI community, Freelance to Freedom. I wrote the book. We recorded the audiobook and we give it away for free. Also, I did a document called The Most Unexpected Benefits of Homeschooling. So for those of you that want to read that, and as well, if you guys want, we would love to do a Q&A, a live Zoom Q&A for anybody in your community that would want to be a part of it.
Awesome, Vincent. Absolutely. We'd love for people to check that information out. So again, to our audience, Vincent had took the book, which we're huge fans of. I love the book. If you haven't read it, it's massively inspirational, and you should have some time to read it. So, or listen to it in this case. Even better, if you want to get the resources that Vincent just mentioned, so a free copy of his audiobook, Freelance to Freedom, his worksheet for homeschoolers, things you probably want to know about homeschooling. Check out the show notes for this episode. Or Brad, help me out here. Give me a quick short code. Where should people go? ChooseToFly.com/Vincent.
ChooseToFly.com/Vincent. That's perfect, actually.
Awesome.
We'll redirect right to everything. So that's good stuff. And Jonathan, don't forget, Accidental Homeschooler is what Danny and Rob and the team put together.
Yeah, we're put the foundation put together some resources as well for accidental homeschoolers. It's like a bingo board of activities, interest-led learning. It's going to be a lot of fun. If you are interested in that, go to chooseify.com/start. And they are updating it, so you can just download the PDF right there. But if you want updates to it, so depending on how long this drags on, make sure you sign up for those updates as well. Vincent, the last thing I wanted to come back to you with was actually you had very generously offered to do a Q&A. We got a lot of new homeschoolers, a lot of people that, you know, we had some questions that we brought you, and hopefully that gives some people some sense of assurance, but there's some nuance here, right? And there's wanting to take kind of your experience and ask how they could best apply it to a situation. So if we could set this up, would you be willing to join us and do a Facebook Live to take questions from the community?
Absolutely. Yeah, that'd awesome. Be great.
All right, we'll reach out to our community manager and see what we can tee that up and find some availability as well. Vincent, thank you so much for joining us on the show today.
Jonathan, Brad, thank you so much. Always a pleasure.
Total Life Freedom out. All right, Accidental Homeschoolers Unite. You know, there can be an opportunity here. I think it's a great opportunity for us to explore interest-led learning for our kids and maybe even for ourselves. And so let's take this as an opportunity and take some encouragement. It doesn't have to be perfect, but it's something worth doing well. So let's lean into this for this season of life, and let's give our kids the best opportunity possible. Hey, if you're getting value from the show, please hit subscribe on your platform or player of choice. And if you're looking for additional interest-led resources, go to chooseify.com/start for our free resource, The Accidental Homeschooler. All right, guys, we'll see you next time as we continue to go down the road less traveled. Hey, wanted to take a quick break and mention to you a resource that you might find valuable this week. I know all of us are kind of spot checking our emergency funds, and once we're sure that the money's there, we want to make sure that we're getting the best rate possible. And for that reason, I want to mention to you CIT Bank. CIT Bank is Brad and myself. It's our high yield savings account of choice, one of the best rates on the market right now, currently at 1.75% APR. And if you have been thinking for a while that, you know what, I really should make sure that I'm putting this in a great place, getting a great rate, consider CIT. You're helping yourself and you're supporting the show. ChooseFI.com/CIT.